O gracious and loving God, thank you for gathering us together. Thank you for being present with us in this time. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus that we may have life and that we may be guided by his word that we need desperately in our lives. Bless us, O Lord. Open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to you as we unravel scripture together that we may see a word for each of us, no matter what it is that we're going through or walking through or journeying through right now. May there be a word for us today. Holy Spirit, comfort us and comfort those that we have lifted up who need your care, who need your presence in the midst of tears and pain and questions and uncertainty. We celebrate how you have been there for us this past week, quiet moments and noisy moments through the ups and downs of life. You are faithful, O Lord. May we be faithful to your love and share your love. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak afresh the voice of the Lord in this moment and in this place. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, I was hoping that Leah Duff was going to be here this morning. I sent her a text, but she may still be sleeping after a week. She was one of our counselors, as well as Katrina Dodro and Chris Matiga were part of my compatriots, and a week in the woods was middle schoolers. And it was awesome in a lot of ways, but I tell you one thing, I realize I have a weakness. I don't have that teacher voice, that teacher presence. So there would be moments where I'm trying to communicate to the kids and tell them some very important things for them to hear. And they, for whatever reason, would turn to their neighbor and begin to just and it would begin to swell. The noise would begin to swell, and I would begin to try to speak louder, and then they would get a little bit louder, and then all of a sudden, Christine Fontaine, Leah Duff, Amelia Haynes from the back room, they would say, "If you can hear me, clap your hand." All right, come on, y'all got to do it. If you can hear my voice, clap your hands twice. Then there'd be silence. And I was like, this is magic. This is... Instead of me trying to yell and get my voice above those excited middle schoolers, here, Leah, Christina showed me a trick that for somehow would cut through that chaos and noise and settle them up and open their ears to hear what needed to be said. I may do that from time to time in worship, but I got to admit, it is hard to hear each other's voices sometimes, right? And what's nice about Camp Mary Mac up in Western Maryland is that cell phone reception is pretty poor. So for these middle schoolers who brought their phones, even for their camp director who brought his phone and needed to check email and everything like that, it was nice for a moment to be cut away from what was going on in the chaos of the world. It was nice to have Instagram pulled back a bit, to not see what the World Cup final, whatever, semifinal score was. It was nice to know, to not know what political leaders had tweeted or not have tweeted or what was unfolding around us. It was nice to not get the messages on Facebook and see who was doing what and what food so-and-so was eating that I would like to eat at that moment or whatever. We were disconnected. It was a moment this week you realized how much noise and how many voices there are in our world, for young people especially, but especially for all of us of all ages. How much media there is. How much messages are coming at us from our friends, our family, and from newspapers and TV and our social media. How difficult it is, too, in the midst of that, to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear God's voice in the noise and chaos of our lives. What a blessing it was to kind of get away on a remote mountain and just hear the wind rustle through the trees and the birds singing their songs and the laughter of young people as they delighted in some quiet and beautiful time together. What voices in this noisy world have us transfixed and prevent us from hearing one another and hearing the Lord speak? In this series on the Good Book, as Joe has put this series together to explore some of those big themes of the Bible really on a very basic level is an account through history of the many people of God, from faithful Jews coming out of Egypt to faithful Christians gathered on Pentecost Day in Jerusalem, responding, listening, rejecting or welcoming the voice of the Lord as it was shared and spoken to them through so many ways. In the Old Testament, the primary means by which God would speak is through a prophet, the prophetic tradition. The prophet was a messenger, a special man or woman called by God to announce good or bad news, to lead the people, to guide the people, to share with them what God was up to in their midst. In the New Testament, Jesus comes to us as Messiah, as Savior, but also as a prophet. So many ways he was carrying on that prophetic tradition, which he knew well. A teacher coming out of the wilderness who would offer another way of living and being in the world. We should never think of prophets as the stars of the show of life. They're very important, but being a prophet was not a desirable occupation because of the kinds of lives that they would lead. They were the messengers from the margins, the wild-eyed, passionate creatives who would see the world differently and point out the flaws in ourselves, in each other, in the world, in the systems and institutions, the governments around us. And they had a way of making the people in power angry and making the people very angry. And they also had a way of inspiring us with words that called us to look beyond our present situation into where God was leading us. At their best, the prophets would help us understand the brokenness in our fragile points of view and see our situations and roles through God's eyes. The prophets ask questions that our souls and our lives must answer. The voice of the Lord carries divine power. Power that we must be careful to heed and to use, or as writer Anne Lamott says, we are playing with sticks of dynamite. Today I want to focus on sort of three areas that I wrestled with our scriptures today in this prophetic voice, the voice of the Lord throughout the Bible. It does at least three things. The voice of the Lord affirms, critiques, and imagines. Okay? And I'm not saying this is all there is or I'm the greatest scholar or anything like that, but this is how I was thinking of this prophetic voice, that it affirms, that it critiques, that it imagines. Prophets are used by God to affirm throughout the Bible a course of action or to anoint a leader that God calls to serve God's people. The prophet Samuel anointed first Saul and then David for the kingship. God called Moses and Aaron to speak the Ten Commandments to the people on Mount Sinai and also to confront Pharaoh. God sent Deborah, a prophet and judge, to free the Israelites from their idol worship and share the light of God with them. John the Baptist dipped Jesus into the baptismal waters of the Jordan River, anointing him for his ministry. The voice of the Lord weaving throughout Scripture is definitely a challenging voice, but it is also life-affirming. To be anointed is to know that you are favored, not by people, not by your neighbors, but by God. In our gospel reading this morning, when many disciples seem discouraged and those following Jesus can't seem to understand his message and grasp it, not sure how to react or to believe this guy, that he has the words of life, the words from heaven. Simon Peter says to Jesus, when Jesus says, well, Simon Peter, are you going to follow me or what are you going to do? Simon Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. Here, Peter saw something in Jesus and Jesus' words that were more than just a promise from a neighbor or a kind word from a friend, but an affirmation from beyond, from the heavens. Words that were life-giving and nourishing, that Simon Peter knew he had to cling to, even if it was a hard and difficult road. Jesus' teachings and his life were not just good thoughts to us who follow Jesus, but they place us in a cosmic and immediate relationship with each other and with God. They are life to us. The voice of God comes to us as a source of affirmation in a world of negativity and cynicism. In God's kingdom, through Jesus' message of grace and his life and his hope, we don't need to fight or claw or scrounge for places at the table. We are welcome. We are fed. We are here. We are known and called by name. The prophetic voice of God throughout Scripture calls the people back to the table into relationship, to know who they are and how much they are loved by their Creator. This is that affirming power of the voice of God for all of God's people throughout history. But the voice of the Lord does more than just affirm us. It also critiques us. It critiques our way of life. It critiques the nations. The voice of the Lord throughout the Bible and through the prophets comes to us in a way that challenges how we live and how we relate to each other. Special care is to be given to those who are widows and orphans, those who are most vulnerable, those whose families have been ripped apart, those who are strangers in our land, those who are victims of violence and falsehoods. This aspect of the voice of the Lord is not often the subject of our consumeristic religion, which we are surrounded in our country. Imagine, for example, if you would go to McDonald's drive-thru only to be told that everything you have just ordered will destroy your life and your family's life and their family's life, and they're on and on and on. We would not go to McDonald's, would we? But that's the kind of prophetic language. It pulls no punches. It tells us what is at stake. Our very lives, our very souls are at stake. If we don't correct our course of action, if we don't turn ourselves to God, if we don't treat our neighbors justly. In our second king text, in the reign of King Josiah, and Josiah was one of the good kings. Judah and Israel didn't have many good kings, but Josiah was one of them. As they are repairing and building the temple, they find a scroll. Maybe it was stuck behind an old bookshelf or tucked away in a little nook and cranny of the fallen down stones. And they bring this before the king. And as the king hears this book of Deuteronomy, the book of law read, he tears his clothes. It'd be interesting to come to church one day, and when we read scripture, y'all ripped your clothes off. I'd be like, wow. But that's the dynamite of the text, the power of the text. He is humbled because he realizes the distance between how he and his people live and God's goodness. But he needs verification, so he sends to a prophet, Huldah, a wonderful woman of God who listens to the words and says, yep, this is true. And indeed, this is why the people have gone astray. And we will pay a price. There will be suffering. There will be desolation. This place will be turned into a wasteland. What's interesting is that she even tells Josiah, though, that you will live a life of peace. You will die peacefully. And that's not what happens to Josiah. Because Josiah himself, even despite this moment of humility, he wonders again, too. and joins to fight an Egyptian army that is coming through the land rather than heed God's call. And so he dies in violence and not in peace. Josiah was right to be afraid and humbled in that moment. Imagine if our leaders were humble, would humble themselves and pray. Imagine if we paid more attention to the prophetic voices of our day. And there are many who criticize the injustice on our doorsteps that we are allowing to happen, whether it is at our border, whether it is in our streets, whether it is in our homes and our workplaces. Imagine the world we might create if we took our Holy Scripture and its absolute care for the poor and outcast seriously. But the voice of the Lord doesn't just critique us either. The voice of the Lord throughout Scripture tells us an image of the future. And often it's a very distant future of God's initiative and imagination for us, for God's people. For example, the prophet Jeremiah, even as Jerusalem prepared to face destruction by a conquering army from the north, Jeremiah went out and bought farmland. And that moment of upheaval and chaos when the property was valueless with that army on the doorstep, he went out and bought farmland as a sign of hope and rehabilitation for his beloved home country, that one day the crops would grow again. This was not a real estate speculation project or a marketing effort. This was Jeremiah in the face of chaos and fear and anger and pain, giving a tangible sign of what God was willing to do in the people, even if they did not believe. The prophet Jeremiah was reminding the people that the future was always in God's hand, no matter how bleak things may become. Right now, we need this imagination too. We need this indwelling of the voice of the Lord for the future and reality in which we live. We need the voice of imagination of what our country might be like when we don't have to separate children from their parents at the border. We need the voice of imagination when CEOs don't feel comfortable speaking racial slurs or have some kind of permission. We need the voice of imagination when we don't need to protest in our streets when lives are taken. We need the voice of imagination for a way of being that does not place ourselves at odds with each other, but opens the door to reconciliation and justice and peace, that we might live together as one people. We need this imaginative, life-affirming, critiquing voice in our church right now, here at University Christian Church, as we dream and plan and work to become the community of faith for all of our neighbors, all of those in need, all of those who are searching. Now, Andre, I'm putting you on the spot here as I close this sermon. I don't know if you can play this. Andre, you are an incredibly talented musician. But I had this image of a future, of what it can be like in the kingdom of God, in the community of God, what it means to be the body of Christ at Cairo Camp this past week. Because on the Friday night of Cairo Camp, I saw this image of what it might be like when the voice of the Lord speaks and we all hear and listen and respond. And it was because at the end of Cairo Camp, we have a dance, a middle school dance. Wow, one of the most awkward things in our lives as human beings. But it was particularly a couple of these songs. And I don't know if you can play, Andre, if you can play a sort of an electric slide kind of thing on the piano. But that would be great right now. Because, especially in these line dances the kids would do, this was the one song where everybody, even the wallflowers, would jump in. A group of young teens dancing together in unison. The awkward ones, the cool ones, the short ones, the tall ones. The ones with sunglasses, the ones who seem to have two left feet, the immigrant ones, the ones born here, the ones who like Taylor Swift, and the ones who can't stand Taylor Swift. All together with a DJ or a song leader calling out the moves, three steps right, three steps left, three steps back, one forward, now turn. And if you got it wrong, the voice was there to guide you back, critique and say, nope, wrong way, but guide you back on track. And also that voice was there to say, you're all looking good. That's right, you're on the right way. And somehow in the mess, all of those kids, all those counselors together, somehow even there's space for our creativity and our uniqueness, and some of you doing a spin, and some of you doing a little turn this way and that, and a little bit of style. There was room for each of us to do our own thing, and yet we were all one together. Even in our differences, the voice of the Lord was speaking. And even in our differences, with their own styles, we could hear that holy rhythm affirming, critiquing, and drawing us into God's future together. Imagine church like that. Imagine church like the voice of the Lord is calling out the moves to which we dance and make something beautiful in this world. Are you listening? Are you hearing the call of the Lord? Are you seeking to join this Holy Ghost dance party with us? Let this be our prayer. May the word of Christ dwell in us each and every day. Thanks be to God.